You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
I'm here with the cast and director. Two-thirds of the cast and director of Crunchy Silk, which is going on at the Globe on the 1st of May. I am with Zach, Kimberly and Jackson. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, everyone good. Doing well? Yeah, doing
yeah.
good?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Crunchy Silk. It goes on. 1st of May.
1st of May.
How long's your season?
We got 4 shows booked in. So 3 night shows and a matinee.
Nice.
Yeah. So.
What is that? That Thursday, Friday, matinee on Saturday?
Yes, that's Thursday, Friday, Saturday with a 4 p.m. show on Sunday.
Oh, matinee on Sunday. Cool. Very cool. Okay, so let's talk about the play because I don't know it. Crunchy Silk, Jess Sayer. The blurb makes it sound reasonably intense, reasonably heavy. Give me an overview. Is it intense? Is it heavy? Is it scary? Is it confronting? What is it?
It's quite confronting.
Sure.
It's definitely confronting is a good word for it. It's intense at times, but it's also quite beautiful as well.
Sure.
So it's a whole triple whammy of different emotions, and right from the very start it's just an experience and carries right through. And
how long is it?
So it's about around an hour. So it's one act.
Nice.
No intermission.
Yep. Perfect. Sharp and confronting, and gets you. Does it? We were talking before this and you said that it sort of comes all together at the end.
Is it
satisfying as a whole before?
It definitely carries its own.
Sure.
It's one of those shows that you think you know what's going on, and then you realise that you don't, and then you think you've got it again, and you realise you don't, and then it just throws something completely different at you, and then it goes, just kidding, and does something else, and so you don't really know.
Yeah, it's a really cleverly written, like really twisty play.
Cerebral. How's it acting in it? Because you two are actors in the play with a third, that is Shannon Burnett.
Yes.
How has it been acting in it? Are you used to, do you have a background in sort of the heavier, more confronting stuff? Or is this sort of a first-time thing? Or
No. This is a great play to act in. I love it to pieces. Jess Sayer is one of my favourite playwrights, and I've done this play before, just as a different character, and I like it that much that I've come back to do a different character.
Can you do the third as well at some point?
I'll just push Zach out of the cast and I'll just take over his role as well.
One woman show.
Nah, Zach's doing such a great job. I wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah,
cool. So, but what are rehearsals like, Zach? Is it because if it's a heavy play and it's a confronting play? Do you still have a lot of fun at rehearsals? Is there still like a rewarding sort of social aspect to it?
Yeah, we have a lot of fun. It's hard not to have fun with the group there, we have to be honest.
Yeah.
With the content that we deal with, we have to be very sensitive, especially with each other.
Sure.
So there's a good support system there.
Nice.
And we approach it by saying, what's going to happen is going to happen.
Yeah.
It's an open space. We're going to give it our all and try all sorts of things. Mm. You should see it.
Yeah.
And we take it step by step, and we're still together on the other side.
Cool. Yeah. And there's something, a certain camaraderie that comes with doing a heavy play together.
Absolutely.
For sure. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
It does have a content warning on it, which, and I've had this for plays that I've done as well, where you get the violence, death or dying, abuse, mental health struggles, strong language, sexual content references, and it sounds terrible. You know what I mean? It sounds like everyone's like, oh, well, why would I want to experience that sounds like a lot, you know. How would you sort of respond to people being like, is that too much?
A lot of it is inference. So if we've got 100 people in the audience, there's going to be 100 different interpretations of what just happened. So a lot of it will be with the audience about how far they want to take it as well.
It's we put them there for the sake of just protecting everything, but some people will walk away from it with different things. I mean, one of the content warnings is sexual content or references, and some people's minds will go straight to the extremes of that, but in some cases it's not actually that extreme, and it's a matter of just preparing people for everything.
Yep.
I mean, as Kim said, everyone has different experiences and interpretations of things, so you've got to prepare them for everything. Sure. Because you'd hate for them to come in and be completely blindsided by that. But that being said, I've been to shows where content warnings go quite extreme, and then you go in and you're like,
that's sort of life.
Yeah,
you know, that happens.
Yeah, this is one of those shows where I felt that the content warnings were quite appropriate.
Yep.
But don't come in expecting it to be the whole thing. I mean, most of those content warnings are the last minute.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Cool. So it's not misery.
It is quite beautiful in the beginning. And it's a very sort of hopeful story. And yeah, depending on the interpretation that you take out of it, it can be hopeful afterwards as well.
Yep. We were talking before this. We had a little chat just before this, and we were talking about Sarah Kane.
Yes,
who's a famous playwright that probably everyone who does theatre studies at uni probably knows Sarah Kane, because they do go heavy on the Sarah Kane.
Insanely,
but that's the same sort of thing, right? Where there'll be content warnings for that, like 448 Psychosis is obviously
insane
about what it's about. If you don't know, it's heavily references suicide.
Yeah,
and. But I always come away from it thinking, oh yeah, that was a gorgeous piece of writing. Yeah. You know, that was poetry. That was a proper expression of the human soul, or whatever. You know, that sort of. Does anyone know Jess? What? Because I don't know the playwright. Is she like Sarah Kane, where she sort of goes back to that same well again and again, not in a bad way, just in like a
she definitely has this theme.
Sure.
I mean, Kim probably knows a bit more. She's probably done a bit more work into it. But, I mean, yeah, Kim and I were actually both lucky enough to have conversations with Jess at different points.
Sure. Yeah, she's so talented. Amazing.
There's just so much insight into the work she does.
Yeah.
Like, she's very interested in shows and theatre for women.
Yep.
And, I mean, I'm no idiot. I know I'm a man directing this show. But, you know, that's her sort of passion is theatre for women, and theatre which kind of slaps you in the face.
And that has interesting, really complex female characters.
Yeah.
Yep.
Something really cool.
Yeah.
And every single thing that she's written is just, like you were saying, beautiful, beautifully written.
And it's a three-hander, so there's three characters. Are they on stage the whole time, or is there sort of like one sort of focal point that's on stage most of the time, or...?
Yeah, so...
Yeah, well, Shannon is playing the role of Astrid,
sure.
and she's like the main character, so she's certainly on stage most of the time. But the other characters for Kimberly and I, we come and go throughout the show.
So sort of rotating door, revolving door kind of policy?
Yeah.
Do you like, have you done anything in a bigger cast, like the sort of massive cast plays, like 10, 20, 30, you know, big cast?
Yeah.
Do you prefer, is it a different way of working when you've just got this tight-knit group of people? Are you guys close after this? Closer than you were?
Yeah, I would say certainly.
Sure.
There's definitely an element we're all experiencing of trauma bonding, I would say.
to put it nicely.
To put it nicely, which I am very grateful for. It is something to be grateful for.
Yep.
But we have certainly all experienced that. And at different times too.
Yep.
With different things.
Just different elements that come up.
Yeah. Like what Jackson was saying, all the audience members are all going to pick up on something different, because it's just so personal.
And I mean, these guys are all diving into very different characters who have very different stances on what's happening.
Right.
I mean,
okay.
No one character thinks the same way about what's going on that stage. And it's just really interesting, especially for these guys to dive into those characters, and just watching that and sort of facilitating that has been really interesting, because everyone just has such different feelings about what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah, yep. Does anyone have that thing where they're playing a character that has opinions that they don't like, and they have to sort of embody
100%
me? Yeah. What does it feel like to you? Do you enjoy it? Is it kind of cathartic in a way?
It is really interesting playing this kind of character, because I don't often get to play this kind of character.
Sure.
She's a rare one.
Yep.
Not necessarily in a good way.
Sure.
She's very hard, very angry, very...
bit old-fashioned.
Yeah, old-fashioned and pushy, but has beliefs of her own that maybe can be questionable to some of the other characters on stage, and can cause some issues.
No, that's good though. Conflict is the heart of drama.
Yeah. Yes.
Two of three being female, like that split, you know, on a three-hander, two or three being female, is quite rare. Like you, like you say that, 100%. You know, would typically be two men and a woman without a lot of agency, probably relating to the two men constantly in some way or another.
Yeah.
I did No Exit once, performed No Exit. Cool. I don't know, but that's the same sort of thing. Two women on stage, one man on stage. Yeah. And at the time, a lot of people did point it out as well. Is the sort of, is it, are there, obviously, if you said she writes about women a lot, there must be quite gendered dynamics in it, are there?
Very much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
It is quite interesting, as you mentioned, that it's, you know, there's usually two men and a woman in between, and in this instance, it's kind of flips that a wee bit.
Sure.
And Zach's character is kind of in between at some points, without going too deep into the the plot. There, he is definitely quite in between these opinions and things.
And how has it been? Because when we did No Exit, just to preface, the gender politics sort of ended up coming up in our actual we were very close, the three of us did it, but the gender politics ended up coming up a bit in our relationships outside of the play, you know, just in terms of like the, oh well, you are being a bit of a chauvinistic, you know dick to Liam, the guy who was playing Garçon. Has that happened at all? Is there any sort of, are you getting any reflections of real life, or are they bad enough that it's far enough away?
Yeah, they're definitely bad enough. The only connection with my real life would be constantly asking about homework, to be honest. Yeah.
Do you like that, as being super far away from the characters? Because I love it. That's my favourite thing about theatre is getting to play like horrible people and then stepping away from it and saying, I'm sorry for saying that, but it was, there's just something innate that it gets out.
It's fun to play the bad guy sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. For sure. Globe. I want to talk about the Globe. Yeah. It's at the Globe Theatre. What are they like? Have they been good? Is it a good space to perform in?
No, it sucks.
Yeah, awful. The worst. The roof fell on us.
It did. No, the Globe's awesome.
Yeah,
we love it.
I've done a bit of work there, and I know Kim has as well. But Zach, this is your
first time
at the Globe.
Nice. So exciting.
What do you think about it?
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it.
Sure.
It's built in someone's house, as I understand it.
In an old house.
And I think that adds a special value to it, because it really feels like purposed as a theatre. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah. Like it's not those theatre spaces that are like all, you know what I mean, for lots of different types of performance and make you feel like you're a bit like a square peg round hole.
Yeah.
But it's purpose built for drama.
Yeah. And in our backstage, to get from where we are on stage to where the bathrooms are in the kitchen, we have to go through an old sort of living room.
Yeah.
And there's this very big portrait, which I believe is a painting of one of the owners, the old owner of the house.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing his face most of the time.
Do the eyes follow you? As you
they follow me around the room, yeah.
You walk past the painting.
Yeah.
But cool. So the Globe was originally made for Shakespeare.
I thought it might, yes.
It's quite cool with this show to sort of flip the Globe on its head a wee bit.
Yep.
I mean, I can't think in recent memory any shows that have kind of tackled some pretty hard themes like this one, unless any come to mind for you guys. But Shakespeare definitely tends to be kind of where the Globe goes, so it's quite fun.
Yeah, it's got a special connection with it.
Yeah.
But it is cool, because I'm super into like that contemporary stuff, the contemporary sort of Mark Ravenhill, Sarah Kane, which aren't as contemporary anymore.
Yeah.
There's sort of another wave. Jess will be one of those playwrights.
Yeah.
But I just think we don't do it a ton in New Zealand. No. We have a tendency to shy away from it and, like, say, go back to classics, Marlowe, Shakespeare, whatever. So, first of all, I think it's really cool that you're doing it, because I think that theatre is the most, we were talking about this earlier as well, the most confronting art form, the most immediate art form. The most unavoidable art form once you're there.
Yes.
And I just wanted to say that I do think it's very, very cool that you've chosen to do this. Where did the inspiration come from? Like, is there an existing theatre company that you work as, or just an idea?
I mean, I've got like my own companies that are quite unapart of what we're doing here. So this is all through the Globe.
Right.
And they organised everything. I said, hey, here's a show that I love and I'd read before. I Kim was actually my teacher in high school, my drama teacher.
Right, so cool.
She introduced me to a wide variety of shows, this actually being one of them. So yeah, it's definitely one that's sort of stuck with me for a while.
Sure.
And I mean, bringing on these amazing performers has just been a privilege. I mean, they've filled exactly what I wanted with it that I've been thinking about for years now. So yeah, it's quite satisfying.
Yeah, it's so nice to see it come to life.
Yeah.
Just to go from that picture in your head to something on a stage.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is really fun, and it makes you go, "I can do this. We can do this. This is a thing that can be done."
Yeah.
How's that dynamic then? If you're directing your old drama teacher on stage, is that?
It's actually been great.
Yeah.
I've acted with students before, but this is the first time being directed by one. And I can say, in all honesty, Jackson has done a brilliant job.
Cool.
Just like all the experts that you've brought in and just your approach to the script, which you really have to unpack as actors and director. Like, it could be done in 1,000 different ways. And so actually figuring out which one of those little directions we can go in, and which way we're going to bring these words to life, it's really fun.
I've found it quite an interesting dynamic, I'll be completely honest.
Because
I obviously a figure who's in the past kicked you out of classroom for not doing your work, and now I'm like, learn your lines and do the work, and it's an interesting dynamic, and I don't pity you as a teacher.
Yeah, for sure. So,
for sure.
But funnily enough, I'm hearing all of my old notes coming out of your mouth.
Yeah. It's just some of the mannerisms and the dialogue when Kim would direct me and school productions and things, and it's all coming back to me.
Yeah. It's hard not to take it on board without meaning to. Theatre lecturers of mine as well, you suddenly start, even if they've done something you don't like, directed you in a way like, you're directing, and then you're suddenly like, no, I've said a thing that she said.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But so I assume this isn't the first time directing, you've had experiences.
So this is my first big
proper
job. Directing debut, if you'd call it. I've done a couple of short plays.
Right.
I mean, back in my high school days, did the Shiloh and Shakespeare Festival.
A classic.
Directed that.
And got to the Nationals.
We went to the Nationals.
Nice.
Yeah, we went to Wellington.
What did you do? What play did you do?
Macbeth. Nice. So we did, God, I can't remember now, Act 2, Scene 2, with the knives.
Yeah, yes. The Shakespeare fanatics in the audience, you said Act 2, Scene 2, and they're like, yes, that one.
Yeah, that one, yeah.
And then the people who don't know Shakespeare were like, what?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Macbeth, that's the Danish one.
Yeah. That's the one, the Danish play.
No, that's very cool. So have you been doing any of the sort of admin side as well, and has that, or do the Globe take care of a lot of that?
So, obviously it's all shared out. So I've done a couple of things. I did the posters.
Yep.
And God, what else did I do? I directed. So we've got some great people behind the scenes. The wonderful Nick Turner is our stage manager. So he's just sort of coming up to where he starts to really get involved
and take
over a wee bit. So working his way up to that, and our production manager, who's kind of just working behind the scenes and doing all the admin-y stuff, like budgeting, etc. The wonderful Chris Cook, another teacher. I'm getting all the teachers. He taught me while he was a student teacher at my high school for a month or so as well, so just rounding them up.
It's a good way to network, right? Going to school.
Yeah, going to school.
And then, the wonderful Lorraine Johnson, who's sort of our representative from the Globe Committee, who's just been that go-between for us to really just make sure everything's flowing. And then Play Market, we've done a lot of, they've been really useful with giving us the rights for the show. I'm probably forgetting other people. Ella Court, our lighting designer, so she's designing all our lights and has hung them up. Sophie Welbart, who did our set.
And interestingly, she was the person that introduced me to the script.
Yeah, so she directed Kim when Kim did
Suitcase Theatre.
The New Athenaeum Theatre. And Jared Shercliffe, who's doing music, composing our score. So, yeah, it's...
So it is a many hands make light work scenario?
Yeah, definitely,
You mentioned the New Athenaeum just then. That was where Nick Tiefer did Babyfest, which we talked about earlier before.
Incredible.
That was a cool theatre. I loved that space.
That was fantastic show.
Well, and he used that incredibly. Okay. Well, I feel like we haven't given the sales pitch which is always an annoying part. But yes. Is there a sales pitch? Is there like a call to action?
I think the people who love crime shows and mystery novels and all those kind of thing are going to adore this because you get to like try and figure it out and analyze it and pick up all the little clues, and there's like more than one twist, which I think is going to
layers and layers. Sure.
So I think they'll love it.
Cool. So anyone who's enjoyed Broadchurch,
Agatha Christie, all those kind of things.
Yep. Nice. My mum would enjoy it then.
Brilliant. Bring your mum.
Bring her along. It's one of those shows that handles sensitive subjects well, I think. And we'll be accepting donations for a couple of charities as well, before and after our shows, just to kind of bring those overarching themes and really do some good. I mean, there's not really an ending that, how do I say, that doesn't tie things together.
It doesn't put a bow on it super neatly or nicely.
And it's quite confronting and might just leave you to really sit in it. So I think it was definitely important for me, and we all kind of did a bit of a vote on some of the charities that we'd like to to do some work for, which ties it together for us, and really, you know, this is what you're left to deal with, but there's actually places that help this in the real world as well. So the Otipoti Dunedin Whanau Refuge is one of them, and Life Matters Suicide Prevention Trust will be taking donations for. We're pretty excited about that.
And it is, especially when you do something heavy, it's really nice to come out to the foyer afterwards, or come out to whoever's waiting for you afterwards, and feel like you can step away from it, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Are you looking forward to that moment for the last time, or you're just super keen to perform, or...
Me personally, I'll go. I'm incredibly nervous, I would say.
Yeah, sure.
To see what is going to happen after that first show.
Sure.
Because I don't know.
I genuinely can't wait to see how the audience reacts to what you do in those last moments.
Yeah.
Like your face, it's so great. Yeah.
Whole last scene. Yeah. I mean, without going into it, but we'll talk about it and pretend that everyone knows what we're talking about.
Sure. There's a mystique to that. Yeah.
The ending is just incredible, and especially these two in particular do really well. And I mean, Shannon does amazing as well. But these two, there's just a moment that give you shivers.
Yeah. And so you'll have to go and see what that moment is.
Yeah.
I've been telling people that I've been inviting to, you know, come to the gig, come to the show.
Yeah, sure.
I apologize if you don't want to see me after the show. I get it. I'll see you another time.
We can take a couple of days. Yeah.
I get it. I'm going to need some time too. Yeah. So. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but that's cool. That's fun. And it's nice for people who know you as well to see you do something that stretches. I mean, obviously, this doesn't sound like a good thing, but it sort of stretches their imagination of who you can be,
and the sort of
depths and, you know, totally. Limits of you as a person. So that's always a lot of fun as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for coming on to talk about it. I'll be there. I will be coming. Absolutely.
You'll be there.
I'll be coming probably on a Friday night, because then I can go to bed earlier and then I can get up for the show in the morning. Is there anything you'd like to, like, if I open mic you just at the end, is there anything you'd like to...
Come along and watch. I mean, there's a lot of hard work's been poured into this, and the show is really good. It's really well done in the least pretentious way possible.
Sure.
We're awesome. The show's awesome.
It's a team thing. You can always say, it's really great, because you're not the only person involved.
It is really great.
Complimenting your team. They compliment you.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And, just, you don't want to miss it. There's not many shows, and there's not many seats, and I think you'd be disappointed to miss out. I mean, this is the quote that I always tell people, but there's a Theatre View quote from one of the reviewers that did it up in Auckland.
Sure.
And they said that the last 5 minutes, last 5 seconds, leaves them shocked with chills up their spine, with goosebumps, and they're right.
Yeah. So. And that's the best thing about art, is when you suddenly sit there and you're like, wow,
It's the kind of script that resonates.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
For sure. Perfect. So, get along, everybody. Again, it is May the 1st it starts, which is the
first
Thursday.
First, second, third at... God, I don't remember now.
7:30?
7. You got it in front of you. You confirm that, because otherwise people are going to come half an hour late.
7:30. But get there at 7. That's always...
Get
you say the earlier one, and then people can't miss.
So, Thursday the 1st, Friday the 2nd, and Saturday the 3rd at 7:30 p.m. and then Sunday at 4 p.m.
Cool. Well, thank you, team.
Thank you.
I said before this that I was going to ask you for an artist recommendation to play. Do we all have one? You don't have to.
I've definitely got one.
Sure,
who's yours? Zach and I were listening to it in the car on the way here, and it's a song suggestion too.
Okay, yep.
It's Squeeze by Toy Love.
Squeeze by Toy Love, yeah.
Squeeze by Toy Love.
I know Toy Love, so yeah, fantastic.
Amazing, so good.
That might be on the playlist, actually.
Oh, well.
Which would make it way easier.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Anyone else?
Well, because I'm old, I'm going to go old school.
Sure.
Peaches by Presidents of the
United
States.
Nice. I think that actually is on the playlist.
Yes.
Very cool. I think that's like a classic college radio song.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I don't think my one's going to be on that playlist. But
sure.
If it's available, shout out Abel Carson. Play Crazy Hard Candy.
Crazy Hard Candy by Abel Carson. I'm going to write that one down because I don't know that one. And that way I will not forget. Cool. Thank you so much, team. Everyone get along to Crunchy Silk.
Thank you for having us.
And yeah, it was fantastic to talk.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.